Welcome to a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service, or ERS. This podcast highlights an article from Amber Waves, the magazine of the Economic Research Service. We are joined now by Sheila Sankaran, the executive editor of Amber Waves.
Thank you. Here with me today is Elise Galan, a co-author of the Amber Waves article, Do Food Labels Make a Difference? Sometimes. Elise, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks, Sheila. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, food labels. You know, I bought a carton of eggs the other day, and I was blown away by all the claims on the label. In addition to the standard grade A extra large, the label also had cage-free, kosher, vegetarian feed, safe handling instructions, and a long list of nutrient claims. So what's going on? What happened to plain old eggs? And where did all these new labels and new product attributes come from?
Well, some of the labels on food products are mandated by government in an effort to improve market information and food safety. For example, USDA requires that manufacturers put egg size and grade on the label as well as the safe handling instructions. You know, those instructions on how to prevent illness from egg-borne bacteria. Other labels like kosher, cage-free, and special nutrient labels are put there voluntarily by manufacturers in an effort to attract consumers' attention and increase sales. The egg manufacturers who put cage-free on their labels and keep cage-free birds hope that it will help them sell more eggs.
But doesn't it seem like there are more labeling claims than ever? It seems like every time I turn around in the grocery store, I run into some new label.
You're right. There has been a real explosion of labeling claims. In fact, in 2005, a record number of new food and beverage products were introduced, almost 19,000. Whether the new product is truly a novel product or just a repackaged and relabeled variation of an older product, the result is still a lot of new labels and new product claims. Just goes to show that in the food industry, where margins are very thin, competition is vigorous.
Manufacturers have always been competing for consumers. Why this sudden explosion of food labels and food attributes?
Well, here comes the standard economist answer, demand and supply. On the demand side, higher incomes are driving demand for new food attributes like improved safety, convenience, and a wide range of welfare attributes. Those are those attributes like fair trade, free range, and sustainable. On the supply side, new food production technologies and distribution systems are making it possible to cost-effectively produce and distribute products with these new attributes. For example, advances in feeding regimens have made possible some of the nutrient fortification in eggs, and advances in supply management has helped ensure that the special nutrient eggs are not mixed with the regular eggs.
How do I know that any of the claims are true, that the products really do have the attributes listed on the label?
For mandatory standards, government agencies work to verify the accuracy of the labeling claim. For completely voluntary standards like kosher or fair trade, claims are typically verified through private third-party certification. If you look carefully at the label, you will likely see the name of the certifying agent. For example, on that carton of eggs you have, the kosher labeling says Orthodox Union. That's a popular certifying group. A number of entities, including consumer groups, producer associations, private companies, national governments, and international organizations, provide third-party verification and certification services. In some cases, private companies are actually used to verify government standards. For example, USDA accredits third-party certifiers for the National Organic Program. These private certifiers verify that growers are adhering to USDA organic standards.
Has this labeling explosion had any effect on consumers?
One thing it's done is to make consumers more skeptical. It has taught us to be leery of products that don't supply information on competitive attributes. For example, if one can of soup was labeled low sodium and another wasn't, I would assume that the unlabeled can was high in sodium. Likewise, I would automatically assume that a can of tuna that wasn't labeled dolphin safe was not dolphin safe. We've all learned that in a competitive marketplace, the presence of a labeling claim is a signal of quality, and the lack of a labeling claim on competing brands implies the absence of the quality attribute.
So labels make us smarter?
Yes, in many ways they do make us smarter about both good and bad product attributes. The fact that some manufacturers tout their low-sodium products informs me about the high sodium content of other foods. However, Labeling, in particular voluntary labeling, is not always sufficient for disclosing information on all important attributes or for guaranteeing information accuracy. One limitation to voluntary labeling arises because manufacturers may provide only relative information. For example, a sausage label may boast 30% less fat than the leading brand, or a bacon label may brag half the sodium. Although this type of information is valuable for deciding among competing brands of the same item, it is not complete. Lower-fat sausage may still be a high-fat food. In many cases, consumers need information on absolute, not just relative values, to make fully informed consumption decisions. Another problem with voluntary labeling may arise if manufacturers use their labels to mislead consumers about their competitors' products. For example, in early 2000, a manufacturer began marketing a wheat cereal with a label proclaiming no genetically engineered ingredients. Well, being a savvy, skeptical consumer, if I had seen this label, I would have assumed that this meant that the other wheat cereals were made with genetically engineered ingredients. This was not the case. No genetically engineered wheat is present in any food. In this case, a consumer advocacy group asked the FDA to take enforcement action against the cereal manufacturer on the grounds that the labels were misleading. The manufacturer removed the label.
Can mandatory labeling change consumer behavior, like make us eat healthier or make more socially conscious food choices?
Empirical studies have found mixed results on the efficacy of labels in educating consumers and changing consumption behavior. Many studies highlight the observation that consumers often make hasty food choices in grocery stores and usually do not scrutinize food labels. In one marketing experiment, researchers asked participants to go into a room, read the labels on a number of food products, and then think about how much they would pay for each product. Researchers found that most participants did not notice the fact that one of the products had a label stating that it was made with genetically engineered ingredients until the researchers had projected the label in big letters up on a big screen. If consumers don't notice a labeling claim when their only task is to read the label, imagine what happens when they're rushing through the grocery store with hungry kids. Research also shows that a large number of warnings or a list of detailed product information may cause many consumers to disregard the label completely. And even if consumers do consider each piece of information on a label, they may find it difficult to rank the information according to importance. For example, I may have a hard time deciding between products with varying levels of sodium, trans fats, fiber, omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acids. Which mix of these attributes is most important? Which product should I choose? It's easy to imagine someone throwing up their hands and giving up, or ending up in the situation where they underreact to important information and overreact to less important information. All in all, I'd say that the empirical literature points to the conclusion that mandatory labeling is a weak policy tool for changing consumer behavior and reaching social goals.
If labeling doesn't really change consumer behavior, is it ever a good policy tool?
Though they may not directly affect consumer behavior, labeling regulations may have a large effect on manufacturer behavior. New labeling requirements can spur product introductions or reformulations. For example, firms that are forced to disclose the negative characteristics of their products, like high sodium, may choose to reformulate rather than risk losing sales from disclosure. And changes in labeling regulations can also open up areas of competition by allowing producers to compete on a new set of attributes, like health claims. Economists at the Federal Trade Commission found that regulation allowing health claims on cereal boxes resulted in significant product innovation and a plethora of cereals claiming to help reduce the risk of cancer.
Wait a minute. You just said that consumers may not pay attention to labels. But wouldn't manufacturers only reformulate and relabel if they thought that most consumers were interested in the new labeled attribute?
Actually, manufacturers may label and reformulate even though most consumers are not particularly interested in the new attribute or even know anything about it at all. Sometimes all it takes is a small niche group of consumers to convince manufacturers to take on the expense of reformulation and product innovation. This is particularly the case when the new ingredient or attribute does not affect taste or price and therefore does not alienate core groups of consumers. The fact that Lucky Charms now have whole grains on the label may have interested new consumers without alienating regular consumers. The more attributes manufacturers can stack in their products, like eco-friendly, low sugar, fair trade, high fiber, the more niche consumers they may be able to attract.
So labeling can affect consumers who don't even read labels.
Yes, as a result of labeling regulations, even consumers who never read a label may end up making smarter food choices because the products they have to choose from have been reformulated. For example, some consumers of popular snack foods may not know that their favorite nibbles are now made without trans fats. They are reaping the benefits of a more healthful diet without changing their food choices. However, if the price of their favorite snack rises because of reformulation, consumers who do not want the new attribute are made worse off.
Wow, labeling could have a much bigger impact than I imagined.
Yep. The benefits of and costs of labeling regulation could be far-reaching when manufacturers respond by reformulating. A shift to zero trans fat has triggered changes all along the processed food chain, including investments in new processing technologies and the development of soy and canola crop varieties with different oil characteristics. Other reformulations could affect the environment, animal welfare, and consumers' health and budgets.
Elise, this has been very interesting. Thanks for spending some time with us to share your insights. I've been speaking with Elise Galan, a co-author of the Amberwaves article, Do Food Labels Make a Difference? Sometimes. You can reach Elise at 202-694-5424 or at egolan@ers.usda.gov. You can access the latest issue of Amberwaves at www.ers.usda.gov/amberwaves. You will also find articles on integrating conservation and commodity payments, the global biofuels industry, and concentration of cropland. This is Sheila Sankaran. Thank you for listening.
This has been a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service.